How do you feel about God's commandments? In Psalm 119, which we sang part of a moment ago, the psalmist says, "O Lord, how I love your law," over and over. One of the longest psalms in the Psalter is largely taken up with the psalmist praising God's law. "Your law gives me life. It is a lamp to my feet." Do you feel that way? Can you say words like that with as much joy as the psalmist? Is God's law a source of light to you? Or does it feel like a burden that only serves to point out your sin? When we began our series on 1 John, Eric pointed out to us that John does not pull any ethical punches. And it's in this part of 1 John where the apostle begins to lace up his boxing gloves. John takes obedience to God's law very, very seriously. And this morning we're going to think together about John's take on what it means to fulfill God's law. And John has just finished telling us that Christ is our advocate. Jesus is the righteous propitiation for our sins. His obedience unto death on the cross has freed us from our sin. And because we are now united to Christ by faith, we are called to live lives of obedience. John says, "Whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." And so, in our text this morning, John begins to explain what this means. He writes, beginning in verse 7, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard." So John is teaching us how we are to live as believers, and his message is grounded in what he calls the word that we have heard. He says at the very beginning of 1 John that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This is the word that John is talking about. And so this means that God is light, and as those who follow him, we are to also walk in the light. This means obeying God's law, because as Psalm 119 says, the law is the light for our path. And for John, obedience to God, following his law, doesn't just involve the law in a general way. But John is pointing us to a specific commandment, an ancient commandment, this old commandment. He's pointing us to what is really the oldest and most essential commandment in all of Scripture. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells us, quoting Deuteronomy, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And if you've read stories of the prophets in the Old Testament, if you've read the teaching of Jesus in the Gospels, then you're probably familiar with this pair of laws. These two laws are at the core of biblical ethics. Think of passages like Micah 6:8. What does God require of us but to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God? We're very used to hearing things like this. A popular way of kind of summing up the Christian faith is love God and love others. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Well, John, you're right. That's an old commandment. I know about that commandment. Love God? Sure, I love God. Love my neighbor? Well, I I don't really hate anyone. I do good things for people every now and then. I guess that counts. We can often be like the man in Luke 10, who in his conversation with Jesus about these laws says, sure, I keep the law, but who is my neighbor? What is the technical definition of a neighbor? In other words, who am I required to care about, and who can I get away with disregarding? And like that man, our familiarity with the basics of biblical ethics can desensitize us. We can become lazy in our obedience to God. But John says that this old, ancient, familiar commandment is actually a new commandment. He says, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. And in John's Gospel, John 13, Jesus himself gives us this same new commandment that John is talking about. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the new commandment. Just as I have loved you, so you must love each other, Jesus tells us. And this new commandment, this law of love, begins with the work of God in Christ. John says that the commandment is true in him and in you, and it's true in Christ because it is Jesus, the Word made flesh, who first loved us and gave himself for us on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus himself said that there is no greater love than that someone should give their life for their friends. And that is exactly what Christ has done for us. While we were still in darkness, the same God who said, "Let there be light," came into that darkness to rescue us and to bring us into a restored relationship with him. And so this law of love is true in Christ because he has already loved us in this way. But John also says that this new commandment, this law of love, is not only true in him, but it is true in you as well. We are commanded by Christ to love each other as he loved us. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. And so you, as followers of Christ, are to love your brothers and sisters in Christ with the same self-sacrificing, obedient unto death love with which Christ himself has already loved you. We are to imitate Christ in our love for each other. Dying to ourselves, taking up our cross daily. This is to be the normal mode of operation for Christians, and this is to be especially true in our relationships with each other within the community of faith. And John takes our obedience to this law of love very seriously. This is not just something that is good to do. It is not just a helpful way to live. It is not a best practice. For John, our obedience to this law of love is the difference between walking in the light and remaining in the darkness. If you think you love God, but you hate your brother, John says, you are not where you think you are. You might be in the darkness and not even know it. You can't truly follow God if your lack of love is leading you into darkness. American theologian Charles Octavius Booth put it this way: increase in the love of God and in the love of our neighbor must go on together. One cannot increase in his love to God while there is a decrease in his love to his neighbor, nor increase in his love to his neighbor while his love to God is decreasing. And so this commandment, the law of love, is to be true in us just as it is true in Christ. Why is this? Why is this so important? John says the darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. The darkness is where we sat imprisoned. The darkness is where we were trapped by sin and death. But, as John says, that darkness is being progressively banished by the light of Christ, the true light who has come into the world. And so this means that when we indulge in hatred, when we are slow to acknowledge and address the pain of others, when we fail in our obligation to love our brothers and sisters as Christ loved us, John says that we are actually returning to the darkness. John is going to develop this idea further over the course of this epistle, this connection between darkness and hatred. But do you know why this point is so important for him? Do you know why it's so important for us to understand the gravity of our love for each other? It's because the light is winning. The darkness is passing away. The true light is already shining. And as those who are united to Christ by faith, we are called to reflect the light of Christ into the world. And so how are people who are blinded by darkness going to see this true light? How will the world know that the law of love is true in him and in us? By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And like so many of the things that John teaches us in his epistles, this is so simple, but so vitally important. God first loved us and now commands us to love each other as he has loved us, so that through us the world might see the true light of Christ. I want to tie this to something that we do every week during our service: the passing of the peace. Why do we do this? Why do we interrupt a perfectly good worship service and say hi to each other for a few minutes? What is the point? This is an introvert's worst nightmare? Perhaps. But is that actually what we're doing? Are we really just saying hello to each other? It's not greeting time. Some churches would call that sort of thing greeting time, but that's not what it is. We aren't just saying hi to one another. We aren't just shaking hands because it's the brotherly or sisterly thing to do. We aren't doing it because it makes us feel good. On Sunday mornings, when we gather together, we first confess our sins together. We are then reminded of our forgiveness in Christ. God then shines the light of his holy word on our lives. And then, in this action of passing the peace, we reaffirm that because we are forgiven in Christ, because we are at peace with God, we can truly be at peace with each other. And then as we approach the Lord's table together, we are able to look each other in the eye and to remind each other that the peace of Christ, our union with Christ, is more than superficial. When you say, "May the peace of Christ be with you," you affirm to the person across from you that you are bound together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's then that we feast on Christ's body and blood, not as individuals, but as those who, through the power of the Holy Spirit, have together been made obedient to the law of love. And of course, the irony of passing the peace, reaffirming our commitment to each other in this way during a pandemic, is not lost on me. It's hard to love each other when even our ability to be together is limited. But when you consider your interactions with your church family, think about this. Has the pandemic actually changed the frequency of your fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ? What does this current lack or limiting of fellowship point out to us? And for some, you may realize that the answer is no, that your fellowship with other believers hasn't changed that much. Even during a pandemic, the amount of Christian connection and fellowship in your life may not have changed at all. And perhaps that's because it wasn't there to begin with. It's hard to love your siblings from afar, isn't it? To fulfill the law of love, we have to draw near to one another. We have to be around one another. We have to truly know one another. And we're called to intentionally cultivate relationships in which we can live out the pattern of self-sacrificing love that Christ has shown us. And so, we have a great opportunity during this time of relational fasting to ask the Holy Spirit to deepen our longing for true and meaningful friendships to increase among us here at Redeemer. We have the opportunity to increase our affection for fulfilling the law of love. In a few moments, we're going to confess our faith together. And in our ancient creeds, we confess that we believe in the communion of saints. The phrase might bring to mind something like the great cloud of witnesses from Hebrews. And it does involve that, but the communion of saints is not some nebulous spiritual reality that's out there. When we talk about the communion of the saints, we mean that we as believers all share in the gifts of Christ as members of his body, and that we are duty-bound to use what Christ has given us sacrificially for the benefit of our siblings in Christ. The communion of saints is right here in this room. And that communion is built on, founded on, our Christ-like love for each other. And so as we confess this truth, as we go out today in the peace of Christ, let's renew our commitment to tangibly manifest that Christ-like love in our life together. Because, friends, the light is winning. Let's walk in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the light has indeed come into the world, and the darkness has not, nor will it ever, overcome that light. Send your Holy Spirit to aid us all in reflecting that light as we seek to increase our love of you and our love of our neighbor. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, world without end. Amen.